faithful he is to us. And if we think of how we're, at times we're so unfaithful, we just fall short. We have every intention of doing and saying and being what God would want. But then as we stop and analyze ourselves a little bit, we realize how we're falling short. Thank God, amen, for his faithfulness. He's always there. He's always reaching out, amen. His mercies are never ending and he cares about us. Amen. You talk about somebody that's rooting for you, it's Jesus that's rooting for you. You ever go to any sports activities and you'll see parents there rooting for their children, and some of the children that are out there, I mean, they just don't even really have the talent, the ability. They're just really a flop and a failure. But does that stop the parents from rooting for them? It absolutely does not. Amen. Even though you might look at yourself as a flop and a failure, Jesus doesn't stop rooting for you. Amen. He's fighting on your behalf. You fall down, he wants you to get up and go. You fall down, he wants you to get up and go. Amen. If you lose a limb, you lose a leg, you lose a foot, you lose an arm, he still wants you to keep going. Amen. And they that persevere unto the end, they the same shall be saved. Amen. And so you got to be in it for the long haul. Well, as long as it's going good, I'll stay in. It gets a little rough. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Amen. There was no guarantee that this was going to be an easy walk to heaven, but it's something that you must do, but you have but a short lifetime to get it done and then forever be in the presence of the Lord. Let's get ready to receive our offering here this morning. Amen. I'll ask Brother Harry to come up to receive this, and don't forget in your giving, amen, I did mention the insurance issue that's coming up. Amen. God's good to us. There was more money that came in for the building project this week. Amen. $500 more came in. So we praise God for that. Amen. God's faithful. Amen. Just keep praying. Amen. We want to get that bathroom done. There's other things that we need to do in this building to bring it up to par to where it should be. And with God's help, we're going to do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time today. We pray that you will bless this offering today, God, that these people will be blessed by you, God. Lord, we're living in an economy where everything's going up, up, up in price, God. But that's not a problem for you, God. You just continue to bless me. Thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. We serve a good God. We serve a loving God. Amen. Don't listen to what the adversary says to you. God loves you, and you can be rest assured of this. The enemy of your soul does not love you. He does not have your best interest in mind. He wants to destroy you, and he's doing that to men and women in this world today. The God of this world hates people. Why does he hate people? I think it's for this reason, because we were created in the image of God. And every time the devil looks at you, it reminds him of God. And so he hates you because of that. Don't ever think that the enemy of your soul loves you, because he doesn't. He'll paint a bright, glimmery picture of how things are, and you know, give you that impression that things are all good and wonderful on his side, but it's not the side you want to be on. You want to be on God's side. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 19 through 27. We're going to read those. But what we're going to talk about today, and this is dealing with this, and the title of what I'm sharing with you here this morning, and I really want you to listen attentively to this and just don't say, oh, I've heard this before, and shut down before you even start up. Are you a hearer or a doer? You need to be a hearer, but you also need to be a doer. Where do you fall today? Are you a hearer or are you a doer? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us this day, Lord, as we look at your word. We're going to look at what James had to say to us as he was anointed by you, God. Lord, and we're going to learn from this. It's going to help us to grow in you, God. And we're going to find on which side we fall, God, whether we're a doer or a hearer. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. And so let's read this now. Listen close to this. This has a whole lot to say, a whole lot to say. And as you're going through this, there might be a point where you just want to shut it down, but listen to the whole idea that James has given here. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness this the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And whoso looketh into, listen to this, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of his work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from this world. So are you a hearer or are you a doer? Now here's what the hearer does. This is what a hearer is. The hearer will listen to and know God's word, but never live it out. There are a lot of people that are here. They listen to God's word. They know God's word. They can quote God's word to you, but they never live it out. And a doer, what do? They listen to God's word. They know God's word. And they obey God's word. So which are you? Are you that hearer or are you that doer? And it says if you do this in verse 22, if you're doers of the word and not hearers only, if you're a doer of the word, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so it says at the end of that you are deceiving yourselves. And if you're deceiving yourselves, that is to believe something that isn't true, to keep truth hidden. You're intentionally misled. They believe something that isn't true. Hearers live blind and are deceived to the truth. And there's a lot of hearers in God's house today. And I don't mean just in this room, but we'll say in the churches across America today, and hopefully there's none in here like that, but they live blind. They are deceived to the truth. They hear God's word. They come in and they hear. They listen to God's word. They might even give an occasional amen. They know God's word. They might be able to give you scripture references to certain things in God's word, but they aren't living it out for themselves. And they are deceiving themselves. They are deceiving themselves. And the truth of the matter is this. There are a lot of people who, if they were to die today, they think that they are going to heaven because they believe the right things. You ask people, you ask the hearers of the word, they'll say they're going to heaven because they believe the right things, because they know the right things. And they think somehow that that's going to give them a ticket to heaven because they believe the right things about Jesus. But they would end up in hell, separated from God. Why? Because they never really allowed God in their life. Make sure that God is really in your life. People go to church and they hear about God, and that gives them a sense of security. That gives them a sense and a belief, as the deceiver, the enemy of our souls, would have us to believe, that just as we know about God, then we're going to be okay, that when we draw our last breath, we're going to go to heaven. Are you certain if you would die today that you would go to heaven? Have you really allowed God into your life? The percentage of people that fall into that category, that are just hearers of the word, if we knew what that percentage is, it would shock us. And how many times have we fallen into that? I don't think there's any of us that would be able to say, everything that I've ever heard about God's word, I've put it into practice in my life, and I believe it, and I strive to do what God's word says. I don't think anybody can say they always do that 100% of the time. But I believe we are accountable to God, amen, not just to know his word, but to be a doer of his word. It doesn't do you any good just to know about something. You have to be a doer of what you know. What good does it do to you? You know, you're going down the road and you find yourself speeding and you get pulled over and the police officer says, you know, you were going 75 miles an hour in a 55 zone, and you would say, yeah, I know that I was. Well, you're just a hearer of the law. You know the law says 55 is the limit, but you're not a doer of the law. You go 75, and then you expect the officer to be merciful to you. You know, you'll say things, you'll act like you have this reason, that excuse, you didn't realize it, I'm in a hurry to go here or go there. Amen. We're inexcusable. So the percentage of people that just hear the word of God and don't do it would shock us. But why is it this way? Why is it that people just hear the word of God and they don't do the word of God? Verse 23 would explain this to us. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. And the word of God is like a mirror. It's like a mirror that reveals to us our true character. The Word of God, when I read the Word of God, I can see my true character. I can see my shortcomings. Yep. And so what the Word of God does is it's a mirror to us. It reveals to us areas in our lives that need improvement. And it happens through the preaching of the Word. You hear the preaching of the Word of God. It's a mirror. It shows you areas in your life where you need improvement. And when we feel that, when the preaching of the Word is going out, we call that conviction. We're like, uh-oh, I'm falling short in that area. I need to pick up my feet. I need to do a little bit better there. And we feel that conviction. So many people will get to the point of feeling a conviction in their life about something that they're doing that the mirror of God's Word has illuminated to them. It's not a good thing that you're doing this. They'll feel convicted about it, and they feel justified in that. They'll just stop right there. They feel just because I'm convicted and I feel bad about this, that that's far enough. That's not far enough. Amen. When God convicts us of something through His Word, through the mirror of His Word, we have to make that correction in our life. God isn't going to come down and make that correction in your life. You have to choose to make that correction in your life. It's called conviction. But you know what? I believe many times conviction is not recognized in our own lives. We'll hear the preaching of the Word of God and we'll think, oh, I need to improve in that area. And in reality, what's happening is there's a conviction coming over you, and you don't recognize it as conviction. You just think, oh, well, I need to do something, but we just brush it off. Amen. So we don't recognize it, and we don't ask God to help us. Amen. Because He reveals areas in our life that need improvement. Amen. Something that we need to change. We don't recognize it. It was brought to our attention by the mirror of God's Word. And to hear what does he do? He simply walks away, not realizing that he needs to change. Somehow we get this idea that God's going to change me. If God wants me to be this way, he's going to change me. If God wants me to be holy, he's going to make you holy. God doesn't make you do anything. You have to do that on your own. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to apply the Word of God to your own life. It's not enough just to know it, but to begin to think that God is going to do it, and I have nothing to do with it. If God wants me to be clean, he's just going to clean me up. And we're going to look at some verses a little bit later that's going to help us in this area. Amen. They don't even realize that they need change. They can sit in service after service. They can sit in teaching after teaching, and they think, wow, and not realize that they're the one that needs to change. And we could probably all relate to this. Have you ever read a scripture? Have you ever heard a sermon that convicted you in an area of your life that needs change, and you know it needs change, and did you do anything about it? You just walked away feeling, wow, the preacher really stepped on my toes today. He made me feel uncomfortable today. I didn't feel too good about what he was saying today. Well, that's good that you feel that way, but you also need to recognize I need to make a change. That word came to the pastor by God to me because God cares about me. He wants me to, and I need to realize I need to make that change in my life. Amen. And so when you really study the Word of God, you really study it, you meditate on the Word of God, and you allow that perfect law of God to show the areas in your life that need changing, that need fixing. Amen. Because the Word is convicting us. The Word of God will convict you.
Yeah.
Well, the preacher convicted me. It's the Word of God that convicts us.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us.
Yeah.
Because God knows in each one of our lives what needs changing, what needs cleaned up, what needs fixed. And when you realize that you are falling short, I'm falling short, I'm not doing things just the way that I should be doing everything, when we realize that, God's Word can come alive to us, and it can help us grow and be transformed into the character of Jesus Christ. We have to recognize the need for change. I need to change. Not you need to change. You need to change. They need to change. That one needs to change. We realize that I need to change in the way that I'm thinking about things. In Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to turn over there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 talks about this. It says something very, very plain to us, very easy to understand. Romans chapter 12 in verse 2, and I'm turning over there. Amen. It takes me a minute to find it. I don't mark these out ahead of time. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed. We are to be changed. We are to be different. We have to train ourselves to recognize fake beliefs, negative thoughts that are out there. You have to recognize, you have to train yourself to be able to recognize something that is not true. You have to be able to do that yourself. And if the banker is going to recognize counterfeit money, how do they get a banker to recognize counterfeit money? They don't show that banker what counterfeit money is. All they do is expose them to the real thing, to the real thing. And then as they're counting that money, it just won't feel right in their hands. There's just something wrong with that. We should become so familiar with the Word of God. When there's a false doctrine or a false teaching that comes around, or when somebody's a counterfeit that comes around that looks as though they're the real thing, you're just going to know something isn't right there. There's something fake. There's something false about this. Amen. And so the banker, they familiarize themselves with the real. Amen. We need to, and it becomes an instinct to them to detect the fake. It needs to become a spiritual instinct of yours and every believer of God to be able to recognize that which is not real. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit in the adult Sunday school class this morning. We need to be able to recognize when it's not the Spirit of God moving, when it is the Spirit of God moving. You, as believers, need to do that. Can you detect the fake that's out there? Can you detect the counterfeit? Or have you believed the lies of the enemy for so long, you find it hard to tell the truth from the lie? You don't even know what you believe. You don't know if it's really this way or if it's this way, because you've listened to the lies of the enemy for so long. You need to be careful. Amen. If we're going to fight against this, you have to study God's Word. Yes. You have to know God's Word. Yeah. You have to see things the way that God sees things. And you will be able to spot the counterfeit. You'll be able to spot the fake. And that counterfeit, that fake might be the one you see when you look in the mirror. You'll recognize, oh, it's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. I need to make the change. I think everybody else is the problem, and that one's the problem, and this one's the problem. But Lord, now that I've got close to you, I see that the problem lies within. Amen. You need to find that. Amen. You need to find that. You'll be able to spot the fake. You have to memorize the Scripture, know the Scripture. That's the ammunition for you to fight and to stand against the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us this. It tells us to desire the pure milk of the Word so that we may grow. God, I want to know your Word. I don't want to listen to what all these men are saying. Some are saying it's okay to do this. Some will say it's not okay. It's just back and forth it goes, and it creates confusion in our minds. We don't need to know. We just get all lost in it, and then we just decide for ourselves what we're going to do. We need to look into the mirror of God's Word and see what God's Word. We need to desire the pure milk of the Word so that we may grow. We need to study. We need to meditate on Scripture. We need to pray. We need to be in a prayerful attitude. Amen. And I think a good attitude to go about every day would be, Lord, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, God. I'm standing in the need of prayer. I'm in the need of help. I'm falling short in many areas of my life. God, have you ever had an area in your life where you felt a conviction? You felt a need for a change in your life to go in a different direction, and you chose not to do it. And then all of a sudden you find yourself comfortable in doing that thing that previously God had dealt with you, and you felt like you needed to make a change, but you just simply walked away from it. You didn't make that change. Now you're doing that thing, and you don't feel any conviction whatsoever, and then it puts you into a state of confusion. You're like, boy, before I felt like I shouldn't be doing thus and so, and now I'm doing it, and I don't feel any guilt about it. We don't like to use the Word, but in reality, the mirror of God's Word, I don't feel any conviction about it. It's because God's Spirit won't always strive with man. Amen. He leads us. He suggests to us, this is the way that you should go. This is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way, and I'm going to make you walk in it. God doesn't make you do anything. Right. Amen. You can, he gives you free will. That's a marvelous thing about God, but it's also a dangerous thing because we can turn around and walk away from God, and God's going to allow you to do that. Amen. But you need to study. You need to meditate on Scripture. You need to pray. You must hear God's word. You have to get yourself in a place of hearing God's word and also doing it. That's the part that we lack in so many times. We hear God's word, but we need to apply it. We all have what we would call our favorite preachers, our favorite speakers. We like to listen to them. Oh, we're so moved and we're so stirred by it, and we can feel the anointing in it, and you can feel the anointing in it, but are you applying it to your life? It doesn't do you. The only good that the word of God does to some people is it makes them feel good when they hear it, and that's all that it does. They don't allow it to work in their life. Amen. God's word wants to work in your life. And he wants to change your life. He wants to change you. He wants to change me. Just to know about it is not good enough. You must hear God's word and you must do it. When we aren't hearers only, okay, but doers, there isn't any misunderstanding. There's no indifference. There's no fear. Amen. When we're doers of the word, but we have knowledge, understanding, commitment, love, freedom, and obedience when we're doers of God's word. Being a doer of God's word, that's an indication of true salvation. Do you have true salvation? That one scripture that we read there in James, that last scripture, James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God. Do you have pure religion and it's undefiled before God? It's just all the way that God wants it to be, 100%. It's a pure religion. It's a holy religion. And if you're going to do that, you go through and it tells him that he's going to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, but it's going to keep himself. That person is going to keep himself unspotted from this world. Are you keeping yourself unspotted from this world? Or is this world starting to have an effect upon you in a negative way, where you're letting the world get into your life? Amen. We want that pure religion. We want that pure religion. And do you have true salvation? Is the faith that you have today, is it genuine? Or is it just is your faith only to the point of knowing? That's where some people's faith is. They know that God created this world. They know that Jesus is the Savior of the soul. They know that Jesus came as a babe, that he died, he went to the grave, he rose again. They know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. They know that Jesus can come to seek and to save that which was lost. They know that God isn't willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Is that all the deeper your religious experience goes? If that's all the deeper it goes, you're lost. You're lost. You have knowledge of all those things, but you have applied none of it to your heart. That means you are lost. You don't have that true salvation, a genuine salvation. Amen. And I'm not speaking, I believe I'm speaking to a house full of believers, but this is to wake us up and to analyze ourselves a little bit. Are you really a Christian? Are you really a Christian? You know how you can gauge if you're really a Christian? Check out your obedience to God's word. If you're really a Christian, you are going to be obedient to God's word. Not only going to be obedient, you're going to have a desire to be obedient to God's word. Is there times that you're going to fall short? I would venture out to say yes. There's times that you're going to fall short, but you have a willingness. You want to be obedient to the word of God. You're walking softly before God. You're walking in reverence before God. You want to honor him. You want to please him. You're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're not listening to all the chatter and the noise of the many religious voices that are out there in this world. It can confuse you. It can make your head spin. Some say don't do. Some say do. Some say that you can do this. Others say you can't do that. And you're left in the middle. What am I going to do? You need to check yourself to the obedience of God's word. And if you fall short in any area of being obedient to God's word, amen, don't deceive yourself that all is well. Everything's fine. I'm doing 99% of the things that I know God wants me to do. Boy, there's this one part in my life. I'm just struggling, and I've come to the conclusion that it's not meant to be, that there's no deliverance for me, that I can't be set free from whatever it is, and God knows. And then we take this attitude. I guess it's just my cross to bear. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And my cross to bear is this thing that just keeps hanging on, and I can't seem to shake it. That's not the kind of cross that he's talking about. Amen. Don't be deceived. Amen. That all is well. hell if you're not obedient 100% to the word of God for what you know about God's word. And there's some people that will take this attitude. Well, I don't really want to know God's word that well, because then if I do, then I'm responsible for what I know and I'm going to have to do it. Hello? That's what it should be all about. This is your roadmap to heaven. This is your guidebook to heaven. This is the book that will get you to heaven. You should want to apply it to your heart. You should want to know God's word. Amen. And so don't deceive yourself that all is well and that you have genuine salvation. Amen. If you're not walking in obedience to God's word. Amen. If you're walking in obedience to God's word, if you have genuine salvation, let me word it this way, you're going to have obedience to God's word, or you're really going to have the desire to want to be obedient to God's word. Have you ever read something or heard preaching that was anointed by God and you weren't aware of it? You thought, I'm going to have to go home. There's times you have to go home and do some house cleaning. There's sometimes you're going to have to go home and get rid of some of those things that you have in your home, because the word of God frowns upon those things. And it's God, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us and leads us and draws us. That's being a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. You can't have knowing disobedience in yourself. You can't have knowing disobedience in your life. Do you have any knowing disobedience in your life today? Something that the Spirit has dealt with you on? You know that you need to make a change, but you're just simply walking away from it. You're resisting it. You cannot have that in your life. Knowing disobedience. Amen. We need to be careful with just being a doer of the word. It's not just simply being a doer, but it's doing it God's way. And an example we have that was David with the Ark of the Covenant. He wanted to bring the ark back up into a certain place, and he got all exuberant about it. But God had written certain ways that ark was to be moved. And David in his exuberance just did his thing, and they were taking the ark back up to its rightful place, and they were hauling it in a way that they weren't to haul it. And that ark went to tip, and one of the men reached up to put his hand on it, and he was stricken dead by God because he wasn't to do it that way. And that made David stop in his tracks. He was just simply being a doer. So it's not just simply being a doer, it is, but it's being a doer the way God wants it done. The way God wants it done. We don't do God's word the way I think I should do God's word, the way I interpret God's word. It's not given for any private interpretation, but we do it the way that the Holy Spirit would lead us to do. He will lead us. He will guide us into all truth. We'll know the way that we should do it. And so David was just being a doer, and there were people that lost their lives. And then there's the hearers only. We want to dwell a little bit of time on this. Amen. So being a doer is a good thing, but I'm just going to be a doer, but you got to do it God's way. You got to do it God's way. Do this. I'm just going to do it. Do it God's way. You do it God's way. I could give a lot of examples. I could give a lot of analogies. Amen. One that comes to mind, it's an easy one to talk about, is tithing. Well, God wants us to tithe. It's in God's word. Abraham tithed before it was even something that God instituted into the rules and laws that they had back in the days in the Old Testament. So he was just going to do that. So I'm going to be a tither. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 10% of my money and I'm going to distribute it to those that are in need. You know, after all, Pastor, I am giving that 10%. This one's going for a chemotherapy. This one needs that. This one needs this. This one needs a refrigerator. I'm going to buy it for them. I'm giving my 10%. That's being a doer, but you're not doing it God's way, because God says, bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. That's not my teaching. That's not my theology. That's the way God wants it done. And that's the way it was done in the New Testament. We're studying that in the book of Acts. They brought their monies in and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And then the apostles give it to the distribution of the saints for the needs that were in the assembly, so that the widows and the fatherless and the different ones in need could be taken care of. So you understand what I'm saying? Well, I'm a tither, but are you doing it God's way? I'm a giver. Are you doing it God's way? I'm one that goes out there and tells people about Jesus, but are you doing it God's way? Amen. So be a doer. Yes, that's important, but do it God's way. But then to the hearers. Here's the hearers. They are familiar with God's word, but they don't practice it. The hearers of the word, have you ever met anybody that can just quote to you scripture after scripture after scripture? Well, that's good if they can do that, but then you can analyze a little bit. You can fruit inspect a little bit. Are they applying that to their own life? Are they practicing it in their own life? A hearer, he's familiar with God's word, but he don't practice it. Amen. Don't have a shortage of God's word. Don't have a shortage of God's word in your life. Knowing the will of God. Amen. Knowing the will of God. These people they have a shortage of God's word in their life. They have a shortage of God's word, and they don't apply it to their own lives, to their own trials. It's folly to hear God's word and not do it. That's foolish to hear God's word and not do it. You come into church, you hear a Sunday school lesson, you hear a Bible study, you're reading it at home, and God's word saying, thus and so, the Holy Spirit is ministering to you through the Spirit, in your spirit. You just know, hey, I need to change up in my life. I need to cut back a little bit. I need to be more involved. You know how God talks to us, but we don't do it. That's folly to do that. In verse 23 tells us, how can we so quickly, amen, forget what it looks like after looking into a mirror? After we look into a mirror, we forget what we look like. And somebody has said before, thank God we forget what we look like, okay? Everybody else has to look at us. But look, hearing God's word, it's like looking into a mirror, and you walk away from that mirror and you forget what you look like. It's the same way when you hear God's word and don't change. How is it possible to hear God's word, to see the mirror of God's word, and not to change? You can't do that. Amen. You have to make that change. It's foolish to hear God's word and not obey God's word. It's foolish to hear it and not obey it. We have examples of that in Scripture. There's four. And this one, this is an easy one to think of. Jonah, he heard God's word. He heard God's word, but he didn't obey it. He went and did his own thing. He did it his own way, and it got him into trouble. Verse 25 tells us to be a doer. It says, if you're a doer, but whosoever looketh into this perfect law of liberty, this perfect law of freedom, that's the word of God. It's perfect. You'll have liberty. You'll have freedom like you've never had freedom before. You'll have joy unspeakable. It'll be full of glory. You'll be from glory to glory. It's just a wonderful experience. But if you look into that and continue therein, and you're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work or of this word, this man will be blessed in his deed. This man will be blessed in what he does. You ever heard anybody say, it seems like everything I touch is cursed, just falls apart? Be careful, you might be telling on yourself. Maybe you're not a doer of the word. You start being a doer of the word. This is a promise in God's word. It says if you're a doer of the word, this man will be blessed in his deed. He'll be blessed in the things that he does. Well, I like to grab the scripture that God's just going to bless me coming in and going out. He's going to cause men to give unto my bosom. Oh, it's going to be all good and wonderful. We all like to grab a hold of that. But you have to rightly divide the word of truth. And it also involves being a doer of the word. If you want God to bless you coming in and going out and cause men to give into your bosom, you got to be a doer of the word. You're going to be blessed in the things that you do. God wants to bless you. It's a problem to ignore God's word. It's a problem to ignore God's word, but to claim to work for God. I'm working for God, but I ignore his word. I'm not a doer of the word. I'm a teacher of the word. I can tell everybody else how to do it, but I don't do it myself. That's a problem. Amen. That's a problem if you do that. It's a problem to ignore God's word and claim to work for God. That's a doer. David was a doer. He was ignoring what God's word said on how they were to transport that ark. He was doing it his own way, and it was a problem for them. They were working for God, but they were doing it their own way. You have to do it God's way. And so the other problem that comes up is when people have God's word, but they don't put it into practice. We look at David, oh, that's terrible. He was the king. He should have known. He should have talked to the priest. They would have told him how they have to move this cart, what kind of cart they have to haul it on, and what has to pull that cart. No man can lay his hand on it. And all the meticulous details that went with that sacred Ark of the Covenant. David could have looked into that, but he didn't. He was just a doer. He just went out and did it and got himself into trouble. And here's another caution I want to give in closing this morning. You must be cautious if you grew up in a Christian home. You got to be cautious. You grew up in a Christian home, or you've been in a church a long time. You've been in a church a long time. You grew up in a home that takes God's word seriously. There's a caution for you. And what's that caution for those people that grew up in a Christian home or been in church a long time? You can fall into the trap of being a hearer only. Go to church. Boy, that was a good sermon. God bless you, Pastor. Good job. Really needed to hear that. It just flows like water right off of the duck's back. It has no effect upon your life. That's a dangerous thing. We become too familiar with the Word of God, and all of a sudden, we don't want to apply it to ourselves anymore. We can tell everybody else how to live. We can tell everybody else how they're doing wrong, but we don't apply it to ourselves. There's a big difference in hearing God's Word and doing God's Word. So today, in closing, are you a hearer only, or are you a doer only? You got to be a doer and a hearer. You got to do it God's way. Yes, God wants us to be a doer, but we have to be a hearer. But there's so many people that have just fallen into this category of their knowledge of God. It's vast. They have vast amounts of knowledge of the Word of God and of the things of God. They can answer questions and things to you, but they don't apply them to their own life. That's just being a hearer of the Word. I would dare say that the scribes and the Pharisees, and Jesus called them the hypocrites, the religious people of that day, they were doers of the Word, but they weren't hearers because they weren't applying it to their own life. They were telling everybody else how to do it, but they weren't doing it themselves. It's a bad condition to fall into. And there's a lot of people that have a security in just being a hearer of the Word of God. And remember when I started out, I was saying, if the trumpet should sound, if your life should end right now, would you go to heaven? Well, okay, yes, I would go to heaven. Well, why would you go to heaven? Well, because I know God's Word. I know Jesus is a Savior. I know that there's a heaven that's waiting for me. Or would you be able to say, I would know that I know that I would go there because I've had a personal experience with Him. I have a communion with Him every day. I talk to Him. He talks to me. I'm into His Word. I'm trying my best to be obedient to the Word of God. And you can't take this whole Word of God and read it one time and say, I got it all down. I got it all figured out. And so how are you obedient to the Spirit and where you are in your walk with Christ right now? It's as you read God's Word and as the Holy Spirit brings something to your attention, deal with it. Make the change that you need to make. And notice how I said that. As the Holy Spirit impresses something upon you, you feel it inside, make the change. Don't fall into that category of, I'm just going to make all these changes in my own power and strength because that's what the people down at the church do, so I guess I have to do this, not even realizing that you need to do it. That's phony religion. And so I'm going to read that last verse. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father, it's this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In other words, to care about others, to show love, and to keep himself unspotted from this world. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Pray that God keeps you unspotted from this world, that you're having pure religion. And I want to sing that song a couple times. I don't know all the words to it, but it's, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There are battles. There are battles. There's a race to be won.
Lots of victories to be
run. Keep me true, to be had. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll help each one of us here today, God, that we'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we have pure religion, undefiled before God. Lord, we're unspotted by this world. We're careful, God. We're careful that we're not just hearers of your word, God. That's a good thing. That's the first step. But God, we apply it to our own hearts. We apply it to our own lives. God, that we truly are your children. God, that when that trumpet sounds, we will go to meet you in the air, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to be true to you this day. Speak to each heart this day as they reach out to you. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Let's sing this a couple of times. Meditate on what was shared here this morning. Are you a doer of the word?